grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If this world we live in were absolutely perfect, which it's not, the Church of Christ would be one. One. This one church would consist of all those believing in Jesus as the true Son of God, our Savior, the one sent from God to save us from our sin. There would not be any different denominations. Think about that for a moment, will you? No multiple denominations of Christ's church. One church. No Lutherans, no Catholics, no Baptists, Nazarenes, Methodists, or Episcopalians. Not even any non-denominational churches. Now that sounds odd, doesn't it? It would be just one church. We would all believe the truth that God wants and wills for us to believe. We all would worship the same way. We'd all consider baptism and communion the same way. I bring this to light because we have all been given the same gifts from God. We have all been given Jesus as our Savior. We have all received God's holy word, the Bible, and we all teach, preach, and we believe, for the most part anyways, what the Bible says about salvation, and that we've been given everlasting life in heaven. But let's break this down just a little bit, shall we? I mean, we all know that there's no unity among the Christians of the world. The same thing about who Jesus is and what God has done for us and what God commands in His holy word. There's no unity, is there? Really? There isn't unity among all these churches of the world. Matter of fact, wars have been fought over the difference in beliefs about what God has said in His word. But yes, sin has reared its ugly head among all the different people of the world. It's pretty good for the last. It was pretty good, God's word, for the first 60 or 70 years since Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection. Those first 60 or 70 years or so, they were pretty good, and there was much unity then. But then, that guy didn't think God said the same thing that God, that guy thought. She didn't believe baptism should be done to little children, for crying out loud. How in the world could they know what's going on anyways? And really, just how could that bread and wine really become the body and blood of Jesus Christ? We know the truth. We know. We know because we have heard God's word. But now there's discord. There is strife. Did you know that there are churches out there who really believe they are the only ones who are going to heaven? And you are not. One God, one Lord, one faith, one church, right? That ain't happening. But let's break this down a little bit further, shall we? Since we know there's no unity among all the different churches of the world, how about right here in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? We all believe the same true faith about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, right? No, we don't. There is great division within our own beloved LCMS. There are those who would not share the same belief about baptism and our Lord's Supper that you and I have right here. There are even those who right now give what they call Holy Communion to little babies. they claim that baptism is the only requirement. They say that offers one the opportunity to commune at the Lord's table is baptism. That's all you need. There are some who think it's okay for women to preach in the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, and for non-ordained men to consecrate the elements and distribute the Holy Communion. There are those within the LCMS who fight for the right of women to have an abortion. So, the LCMS is not exempt from discord and infighting and disgracing the Word of God. Now I'm going to break it down even a little bit more for you, right here in our church, here at Zion Lutheran Church in Columbia City, Indiana. There is discord, folks. There is strife among us. There are some who do not believe the same as others do here in this church. There are some who would like to see this or that take place, regardless of whether or not it follows the Word of God. There is a lack of empathy in this congregation. You may not see it, but I do. And so in St. Paul's epistle today, he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." The Church of Jesus Christ is one body. All Christian churches throughout the world claim to be a member of Christ's body. However, it is more like the foot saying he doesn't need hands, or the ear leaving the body because it's not an eye. And so there is division and fights and quarrels among all these so-called Christians. Weddings and funerals, though, huh? It's amazing many still come together for weddings in two families. A great crowd. A fun time, a joyous time, a happy time. But then it's equally true that one family gathers together at the funeral of a loved one. It's kind of pertinent then today that in last week's gospel, we didn't have church, but Jesus performed his first miracle at a wedding, the wedding at Cana. A large family had gathered to celebrate the joyous union of two young people. And a bit later, in the Gospel of St. John, we read, at the crucifixion of our Lord, standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." So St. Paul is very correct about the body having many members, just as your family has many members, though all those members may not speak to one another as it goes these days. Still, it is one family, one body, just like it is for our church right here, isn't it? There are indeed many members, but all the members don't work together that well for the glory of God. The LCMS is supposed to be one body, the body of believing Christians joined together to form as close the Church of Christ as we can be. Yet we're not. There's deep division. There's major arguing going on at our conventions and conferences and at synodical meetings. I know, I've been there. And so everyone doesn't agree, really. St. Paul also says today, "For the body does not consist of one member, but many." So picture, if you will, not having any hands with which to eat, dress yourself, pick up after your children, or even styling your hair. Or not having the gift of sight or ears with which to hear. Have no stomach, maybe no heart, lungs, nervous system, and no nose with which to smell anything. Our bodies all work in perfect unison together, all their parts. And many times we take it for granted that they don't work that well. Or that we take it for granted they do work so well, and then things happen and they break down. You may be sitting here thinking that the LCMS, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, is a well-oiled machine, but no, it isn't. Parts of the body of the LCMS balk at one another. And you may also think things operate just hunky-dory here at Zion, but they don't. The eye says to the hand, I have no need for you. The head doesn't need the feet. And I suppose we ought not go into those parts of the body no one ever sees, those modest parts that function behind the scenes. It's important we reread what St. Peter said in his letter in 1 Peter chapter 2. He said, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. As holy, redeemed, and forgiven people, all professing to be member of the body of Christ, yet, really, how do you feel deep down inside where the true feelings dwell, where, you know, where they are? How do you feel when God's word says to you today, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose? If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. This past week, I did a lot of visitation because of the weather, and I got to see a lot of our shut-ins. One of our shut-ins, his memory is failing drastically. He remembers old things, and he asked me, how's things going at church, Pastor? I tell him they're going very well, very well. He says, oh, do you have the fish fries anymore? I said, no, we don't have any more fish fries. He said, oh, I remember those fish fries. And you know, this was, and I'm quoting as best I can, he said, those fish fries, I remember getting in the kitchen and helping prepare the fish and bread it and everything. And it wasn't just for the people that came in to eat. It was great fellowship for mostly us men that got together to do that. In a few small phrases, St. Paul describes for us just how we should be. He says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, he says? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, he said. Earnestly desire the higher gifts. You and I, we're members of the body of Christ. St. Paul's writing is in the Bible, and he said, he will show you a more excellent way. The way of the Lord, St. Paul will show you. Now, I've heard people say here in this church, okay? I've heard them say to me, I've done enough for this church, let someone else do it. I've also heard, I'm too old to help in any way in this church. I'm disabled. And then I've also heard, I'm not helping because you know who is going to be there. Really? I've heard people say these things. None of these are the ways of the Lord. None of these are the way God's word teaches us to be. The other night in our Thursday night Bible study, I asked the folks if they'd ever heard that little voice in the back of their head telling them they ought to be here in church or that they should be helping out with this program or that committee. You know, I really could help them, but people still balk at it. They turn around and they refuse to follow God's commands and what those higher gifts God has given you. And they do so because that old Adam jumps out and we demand it our way or the highway. Sin. Sin rears its ugly head once again and the devil gets his way. Are we all called to be missionaries? No. No, not everyone is. Are all called to speak out publicly the salvation won by Christ for the whole world? No, not everyone is. But many do have capabilities and abilities and the wherewithal to contribute something to Christ's church. We have each been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have each received God's solemn promise of heaven forever and ever. We have each, those of us who have been baptized, catechized, and confirmed, we have given our vow to adhere and support this faith, even unto death, rather than falling away from it. We have vowed that to God. So why then do not our pews here in this church overflow with capacity? They don't. This is long and I know it. I'm going to finish it up here. Jesus performed his wondrous feat of turning water into wine at the gathering of many people, as he does here each time we have the Lord's Supper. And the emphasis here is in church. These things are done. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that each time we gather, we give thanks to God for his great glory, for establishing his church as a place of worship, a place of delivering the forgiveness of sins, the distribution of his most holy sacraments, and where we get a chance to hear once again of what God has in store for us. His promise of salvation and life everlasting. Because God knows, I know a lot of you do your devotions religiously. I do every day. For me, I do them, and I pray for you and for myself every day. There's not a soul in this church I don't love. Other pastors talk about alligators and wicked and evil people in their churches. I don't talk about anything bad about my church because I love everyone that's here. everyone that belongs to our church, I love you all dearly, because we're all members of the body of Christ together. The body comes together to work in perfect unison as God has created it. And yes, even the smallest, the weakest member is invaluable to the body of Christ. And that is each of you sitting here this morning. May God grant each of us the power and the might to endure as we continue to open our doors of this church to proclaim the excellencies of Him who grants us salvation and enable us to earnestly help provide for God's word to be shared across this place we call home. May God grant it for His glory, not ours. And in Jesus' name, amen. Now, may that peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.